If you are reading along with us in your devotional book, you read Matthew chapter number 8 this morning, or maybe you read it this afternoon or tonight. I know sometimes Sunday morning is hard to get up extra early and read the Word of God in preparation. After all, we're going to church and we're going to read the Bible at church anyway, right? So don't know if you've read this passage yet today, but this is part of our reading from our devotional book that as a church we've been reading through. And in Matthew chapter number 8, I'm going to bring a message that I've entitled this morning, The Compassion of Christ. The Compassion of Christ. And we see this unfold for us here in the story that we read. We're going to read the first 17 verses. It's a lot of verses for one message, but they go together. People much smarter than I have divided the miracles that are seen in Matthew chapter number 8 and Matthew chapter number 9. There's 10 miracles that are given to us in these two chapters. And they divided them into three groups with one kind of tag-along. And these three groups are divided into groups of three. And the first three miracles that we see here this morning are three people that were healed. Three people that were healed. They come from different walks of life, and they're in dealing with and enduring different types of sicknesses or complications or problems in their life. But Jesus comes on the scene, and we see through his compassion how he heals them. And so this morning, I want us to glean some lessons from this passage of Scripture. You look and follow along with me as we begin by reading the text. Then we'll have a word of prayer and hopefully share with you the thought. Matthew chapter number 8, verses 1 through verse number 17, starting in verse number 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion by searching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and saith, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come unto Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits in his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities, and bear our sicknesses. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we ask you, God, that you would guide me through the thoughts this morning, that you would give me liberty to preach, that, Lord, you would empower the message from your word. Lord, I pray that you would not hold my shortcomings against these, your people. Lord, on my best day, I'm not worthy to stand before men and give the powerful truths of your word to them. but your word is always worthy. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would be with your people today, that you would feed every soul that's here, that you would strengthen and encourage and challenge, that you would move every person in the direction that they need to move. Lord, as we say in our mission statement, it's not as much about where we're at as where we're headed. I pray, God, we'd be headed in the right direction and spurred along that path for having been in your house today. I pray that you would bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, we've got three people here in our text. I called them the pauper, the paralytic, and Peter's mother-in-law. These three people. Now, I know there's not that. There's the pauper. You say, he's not a pauper, he's a leper. Well, who would be more poor than a leper? In that time, in that situation, in that day, a leper couldn't even sit in the city gate and beg alms of others. The leper was cast out and shunned from society. Certainly, you would find no poorer man physically or financially around that day. So we see here, first of all, the pauper's problem. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. First of all, about this pauper or leper, I want you to see that he had confidence in Jesus Christ. He approached Christ with confidence. He came up to him with a measure of confidence. And we as Christians are commanded to come boldly into the throne of grace. We're told to approach God, to come into his presence. And I understand sometimes as Christians and as sinners, we feel the weight of sin and we think of ourselves as unworthy. And certainly we are unworthy. But because of Jesus Christ, we have been made worthy and told to come into the presence of God and to come boldly. We see here this leper. He came to Jesus among the crowds, among the great multitude that was searching for Christ. That surely had made it much harder for this leper to find Jesus. Certainly made it much more difficult for this leper to engage and talk to Jesus because of the crowds that were around. The lepers were shunned. They weren't allowed to be. They couldn't just intermingle and hang out with the crowd. He had to find a way to get to Jesus, but not to be in the crowd. You know, he came with this confidence and found his way to Christ. I would encourage you, believer, no matter the difficulty you face, don't give up until you find Christ. Don't give up until you find him. He says, if you seek me, ye shall find me. If you want to know him, he wants to know you. There might be some crowds in your way. There might be some of the hustle and the bustle of life that gets in your way. There might be some things in this life that hinder you from getting to Christ. But this pauper didn't allow that to hinder him. He said, I need to get to Christ. And he went to Christ. He came to him, followed after him until he could engage him. It is amazing that the leper came with such confidence to Christ. I know that you all here know what leprosy is, and certainly not something that we deal with today like in the Bible times. It is still active and destroying lives and taking lives in many countries around the world. But leprosy, if you would give me a minute just to talk about it so I can get you a picture in your mind's eye of what it was like. Leprosy caused these festering boils on the body, these large red sores that would grow and expand. And I mean, you know what it's like when you just get a splinter under your skin, how uncomfortable that is and how it starts to fester a little bit and it just gets painful to even touch. Well, these sores would spread over their entire body and they would grow and they would expand and just continue to build pressure under the skin until they started to ooze out the infection. It would slowly eat away at the appendages. They would lose feeling in their fingers and in their toes and their feet. Even today, if you were to take a minute and look at some lepers, some pictures, you would see men and ladies and boys and girls without any fingers or just little stubs for hands because the leprosy has eaten away. Many times they lose all feeling in their fingers and their toes. And the leprosy itself didn't eat the finger away, but because they've lost the feeling, they would burn themselves beyond repair or they would cut themselves to where their finger had to be amputated because they had no feeling in their fingers. The leper was ostracized from society. He was cast out into a leper colony outside the city, shut out from the camp. Leprosy was highly contagious. Anyone touched by leprosy or anyone who touched someone who had leprosy would get it. Just like sin. Just like sin. People that are more knowledgeable about these things than me, I understand leprosy is can be a hereditary thing as well. It can be passed down. You know, sin is hereditary. And we've all been touched by sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We've all been touched by this disease of sin. You can imagine the pain that he was enduring, the loneliness that he endured, the loss of everything that he held dear. All of his friends and his family and his possessions and his life and his livelihood, all of it gone, and him out to the outskirts of the city, and to only people he could associate with would be the other lepers that may be there. Everything he held dear was gone, including his health. But he was confident as he approached Christ, confident that Christ would hear him, and confident that Christ could heal him. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He came up and he said, "Christ, if you wanted to, if it was your will, you could heal me." He was fully confident, and he approached him. This prayer of faith prayed to Christ by the leper allowed him to experience the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. It's amazing that the leper even approached Jesus. No other rabbi would talk to him. As a matter of fact, it was the rabbi's job to pronounce them to be lepers. If somebody in the colony or in the community contracted leprosy, the rabbi would pronounce them to be lepers and pass judgment on them and say they had to be put without the city. No longer could you associate with them. As a matter of fact, it was law that if you came into presence of a leper, the leper was to cover his mouth and say, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," to keep you from possibly contracting or getting the disease that they carried. Leprosy was a judgment of death on a man. He was a dead man walking. He was alive and he was walking, but everybody knew that he was dead. You understand that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. The Bible associates this disease of leprosy with sin so often, and the likenesses are so real and so true that it's so hard to even think about it without getting around it. You think about how leprosy slowly deteriorates and destroys the life. Sin does that. Sin slowly deteriorates and destroys the life. It eats it up. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The likenesses are so true. And many times people looked at those that had contracted leprosy as a punishment for sin. Just like Gehazi In the Old Testament, you remember Gehazi, Elisha's servant, who ran after the goods that Elisha said, no, we don't want those. This is God did this, and we don't want anything. And Elisha ran after him and lied and said, oh, my master said he would like a little bit. How about that and that and that? That would fit me, and I'll take that. And I mean, my master will take that. And he took those things back, and God gave him leprosy as a punishment for sin. So many people knew that leprosy often was a punishment for sin. And they looked upon them that way, and almost like they deserved it for something they did or their father did. So for him to even approach a rabbi with this confidence is amazing. But somehow he knew Jesus would have compassion on him. Jesus' compassion is seen as he walked among men. He was with men. There was crowds, multitudes that gathered around him. Jesus' compassion for the multitudes is seen, and then his compassion is seen as he heals this man. He heals him with a touch. What an amazing thing. You know, Jesus Christ could have just spoke, and the leper would have been healed. But I think about the picture that was given to us by Jesus Christ. Do you understand that to touch a leper was to get leprosy? But Jesus reaches out in compassion and touches this man and heals him. I can imagine that man, after years of enduring this, longing for the touch of another human being. To be able to be embraced once again. And Jesus reaches out and touches him. Jesus could have just spoke the word and the man would have been healed. But Jesus, in his compassion, he heals him, but he heals him with a touch. He touched him. We need to have compassion on others like Christ had. Those in this world who are sick with sin, we see them on every side. The world is overrun with them. There's people that sin is destroying their life. Many times we as Christians look at them almost like the leper. We look at those whose lives are beaten down. You understand that sin puts you in a place of loneliness. It beats you down. It just wears you down. Sin, you're enduring, you're continuing down that path, and you get to the place where you feel like you can't do anything. You can't accomplish anything. You've continued to just go down this path of sin, and your life is destroyed, and everything that you had, your ambitions and your goals and all those things seem impossible to you, and you just feel like you're alone in this world. Sin will do that to you. It'll take men down that path, and we need to see people not as the lepers, but as Christ sees them and what they can be when they're healed from that sin. You see, we see many times Christians, we are in church and God has blessed us and we're doing okay. And we look at somebody in the world and we see how the world and the flesh and the devil, how sin has destroyed their home and they're separated. How sin has caused them to neglect or forget about their children. We see how sin has brought about an abuse of drugs and alcohol. We see the destruction of their life, and we almost look at it like, I don't want to get it. Or they probably deserved it. Except by God's grace, we are not there. Beloved, we need to see the sinner as Jesus sees them, as what they can be. God saved us miraculously out of a life of sin and set our feet upon a rock. His compassion when he touched our lives is the compassion we need to have on others. One dear lady had a burden for the street children in Sweden. She bought and purchased a home and opened her home to these kids off the streets. These kids came to her. Soon as she opened the doors, she had 20 children that came and moved into her home, and she began caring for them, and one of them was a 3-year-old boy. This 3-year-old boy had such deformities to his body and his face. His likeness was so hard to even look upon. He didn't even hardly look like a boy. His body was so malnourished that it was just a skeleton of a child. The disease that he carried caused other deformities that made him hard to even look at. He had sores all over his body that nobody had cared for the 3 years he had been alive. This caused him to be a handful. This caused him to cause this dear woman more sleepless nights and more trouble than the other 19 children put together. She did her duty and cared for this child, and she bathed him and nursed his wounds and clothed him. But because he was so hard to even look at, she couldn't bring herself to even like him. She did her duty, but she was afraid that on occasion her own disgust shone upon her face. And one day, she was sitting on their back porch. The sun was shining and the autumn honeysuckle was in the air. She sat there with this child on her lap. And as the sun shone upon her, she began to doze off. And halfway in between that awake and sleep area where one begins to dream, but they're still sort of present, she began to think about herself and this child that was on her lap. And for a moment, she traded places with this child. And from the eyes of the child, she looked up and she didn't see her face, but she saw the face of Jesus. And she was shocked to see on the face of Jesus as though it were a little bit of disappointment. And in that moment, it hit her in her heart that Jesus was saying to her in that look, "I have loved you in spite of the wickedness that mars your soul. I have had compassion on you and cared for you in spite of all the trouble that you've been. How can you not love this child who is bearing in his body not anything from his sin, but from the sin of his parents?" That woke her up with a start. And she thought, wow. And she looked down upon this child who was a few moments ago even hard to look at. And she reached down and she kissed him so softly and tenderly on the forehead, as soft as she ever kissed one of her own. And when she pulled her face away, the child wasn't whining or fussing like he had been nonstop for months on end. The child was looking up at her with a smile such as she had never seen. A smile so glorious, she testified that she doubts she'll see another like it until she gets to heaven and beholds an angel or Jesus himself. You see, this child, from that moment on, was transformed from the love of a human. The compassion, that one act of true heartfelt compassion and love, changed that child's temperament. He had begun so accustomed to being disgusted, to being despised, to being rejected. He had grown bitter and hard at 3 years of age. Yet that moment of loving tenderness changed him. Have you let the moment of loving tenderness from your Heavenly Father change you? Have you let it change your life? We need to have compassion like Jesus had. Christ's compassion brought the cure. If you're here this morning and you had the ability to stand up and to come into church or to be here in church and you have the health to be in church today, you can praise God. You can thank the Lord that you've got the wherewithal to even be in church. There's people right now who would love to be sitting here in this room who cannot because they don't have their health. And surely we should be thankful for the vitality and the health that we have and that we get to enjoy. But how much more, beloved, should we thank God for a healthy soul? A soul that had been washed clean of the damaging effects of sin through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus brought the cure. Understand this morning that Jesus came down just as he touched the leper. Jesus was touched by our infirmities. Jesus bore in his body our sin. He was touched by the disease of sin that you and I carry. He came and he bore all of our sin on the cross that we through him might be made righteous. Only through Jesus Christ are we made righteous. The cure for leprosy was Jesus, and he touched him and cured him. And the cure for the disease of sin is Jesus, and he bore our sin in his body. All we've got to do is trust Jesus with that confidence like the leper had in him. And Jesus can wash your sin away and make you clean. Just like the leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If we come to him and say, Lord, will you make me clean? Will you forgive me of my sin? He, the Bible says, he'll do it. Then we have the caution given to us in verse number 4. I'm not sure why this is there. Many have contemplated this. Maybe you've thought about it. Why did Jesus tell him, see that thou tell no man, but go thy way? I mean, many other places he told people, go tell thy friends and neighbors. But here Jesus said, go tell no man what I've done for you. I don't know why it was. Quite possibly Jesus knew the heart of this man, and maybe Jesus didn't want this man to get puffed up with pride and say, look what Jesus did for me. He did this for me and not you. I don't know what it was, but do you understand that once we've been cured from the penalty of sin, I'm saying Jesus washed us, he made us clean, he made us pure, that we still have a problem with sin? That we sometimes, maybe it's pride, maybe it's something else, and even though we know we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, if you're a Christian in here and you know that today, and you understand that we still have a problem with sin, would you say amen? Amen. This man might have got prideful. I don't know what it was. Maybe Jesus didn't want the crowds to come and make him king before time because they wanted him to be a conquering king. They wanted him to overthrow the Roman government. A lot of us Christians are like, I think of a house on a cul-de-sac, and from the outside, a normal house in a normal neighborhood, maybe it goes up for sale, and from the outside, the house looks beautiful. I mean, it looks like a grand house, and you go in and you look at it, and things appear to be okay, but you have an inspection done, and the inspector finds out that termites have eaten away at the structure of the house. And although it looks nice, the inside is rotten. Christian, that's the problem with us sometimes. We look good. I'm a good Christian. Man, I look good. I've got everybody fooled. Everybody thinks I'm so spiritual. And they ask me to lead in prayer. And they ask me to do this. But inside, sin is eating away and destroying our life. With just the same veracity as it would the unsaved. Sin and the devil is no respecter of persons. He would destroy your life if he could. Understand that we still got a problem with sin and we've got to do something about it. We've got to treat it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, on the outside you're looking good, but you know on the inside you're just a bunch of dead man's bones. Don't leave today like that. Just come to Jesus and let him make you clean all over again. You see, he gives him this caution. Then we see the paralytic. The pauper had a problem. This paralytic had a provider. The centurion soldier. This centurion soldier comes to him and he comes to Jesus and asks for someone else. The soldier wasn't even the one that had the problem. This centurion, this soldier, he was called a centurion because he was a leader of 100 men. That's who he had under his command. He was a strong man. He was a Gentile, not even a Jew. Jesus compares his faith and says, I haven't seen this faith, not even in Israel. Yet here is a Gentile that believes so strongly in Jesus Christ. This soldier was caring for someone else. The soldier was confident in God. He had faith that God could do it completely. Such a strong faith, he didn't even say, he said, you don't even have to come to my house. This faith that the soldier had in Jesus yielded, once again, the compassion of Christ. We see, he says in verse number 5, he says, And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. Jesus was ready to come. The compassion of the Lord is seen here in an immediate response. And he was willing to come to the house. He was willing to go to wherever the centurion needed him to go. You know, many times we would say, oh, I would be glad to help somebody as long as I can do it inside of my schedule. I imagine Jesus was on his way somewhere. I imagine Jesus had a plan that he was attempting to accomplish. He was probably doing something, but here this centurion had a need, and Jesus said, I will come. You know, Christian, you're here this morning. When you have a need, all it takes is one step towards God, and God steps towards you. All you got to do is turn towards him, and he turns towards you. It doesn't matter how long you've been running the other way. We say it's not as important as where you are as it is the direction you're going. Maybe you've been heading the wrong way for a long time. The moment you stop and turn, Jesus turns to you. He answers the call immediately. He's not like your mate who gives you the cold shoulder for 2.5 days. I mean, you're ready to get it all fixed. You're ready to, let's talk it out or let's just hug and make up. We're okay. But they're not ready, right? They're not quite ready. They got a few more hours of stewing to do before they're ready to get over this. I know that doesn't happen in your home. It's not like your friend who got offended and has been holding a grudge. You'd be glad to talk to them and get it right, but they're just mad and they won't get over it. Do you understand? You offend Jesus Christ. You sin against him. You run the other way, and God, in his perfect love, at the moment that you turn back, he turns towards you. What a miraculous compassion Christ has. He's not like us. He's not sitting there trying to hold something over you. All you got to do is just come and confess, forsake that sin, and he'll turn towards you immediately. Whatever's necessary, he said, I'll come to thy house, willing to go. But then the Lord confesses that he is marveled, says that he marveled at the faith of this man. What an amazing thing. Can you imagine what it takes to cause Jesus to be marveled? I mean, to make him think, wow, that's something. I mean, Jesus said he marveled at this man's faith. He said, I hadn't seen this kind of faith in, no, not even in Israel, not even among God's people. He had faith that believed that just a word from God would heal his servant. So God healed him. Verse number 13, he says, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour." The servant was healed. Then we see in verse number 14, Peter's mother-in-law. My wife saw my notes last night as I was typing up, and she goes, "Oh no, you're talking about mother-in-laws." Yeah, God even has compassion on them. Talking about the problems. Yeah, mother-in-laws. I mean, I don't know. See here in verse number 14, this is amazing, the progression here. He says, "And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." You see the characteristics of this thing. Some things we can learn from this is, first of all, that you know that Peter was a disciple, right? He was a follower of Christ. He loved God and wanted to serve God. I mean, he said, "I'll die for you, Lord." We know Peter. I mean, he was there. But what's amazing is that sickness touched his home too. Even though he was a follower of Christ, he still had sickness touch his home. Another thing that you can learn from this is that's quite amazing is that Jesus was welcome and probably often was in their home. Jesus was very comfortable in their home. He was there. He was present. He came to their home. You know how you are. If you're sick and somebody you're not familiar with comes in the door, you're going to go to another part of the house and hide, right? Jesus was there so often. You know, I see this mother-in-law laying sick there on the couch, and Jesus saw her. She didn't try and hide. What I'm saying is they were very comfortable with Jesus in their home, and Jesus was very comfortable in their home. Are you getting it, Christian? Does Jesus find comfort in your home? Is he welcome there? Is he a welcome guest gathered around your table? Or is the conversation that takes place around your table such that Jesus would have to excuse himself? Or just endure what it is that's taking place there? Jesus was no stranger to their house. He was a welcome part of their family. We see again the compassion of Christ here, but it takes a whole new step. It takes a whole new level when we look at this, because you see in this passage of Scripture, you don't see anybody ask for the mother-in-law. I mean, who would? I mean, who asked for the mother-in-law to be healed? Jesus came in and he saw her with a fever and he touched her. You know, Jesus knows what you have need of before you even ask or think. Jesus knows what's going on in your life, and he's there ready to touch you. His compassion is already extended to you. This Peter's mother-in-law was healed not because somebody spent time begging and pleading that she could be, but because Jesus saw and had compassion on her. I don't know if Jesus reached out and touched her because of our need as people to see something. We kind of have a need to have something visual. We like to see something miraculous and we want to see it in a way that we can kind of attribute it to something. Like I came and I touched the pulpit and all of a sudden I was healed. Or I came into the church house and there, I mean, there's as people, we like to be able to attribute things to something. So maybe Jesus, understanding the human's need for that, reached out and touched her so she would know where the healing came from. I don't know what it is, but I know that Jesus did it out of compassion. He touched her. What I want you to see here is we had the pauper's problem. He had a sin problem. We see the paralytic's provider. He had somebody come and provide for him. He had faith to follow after Christ and believe that he could do it. And here we see Peter's mother-in-law. And when she stood up, she had a purpose. There's also kind of a projection of the Christian life here. We've got a sin problem. And through faith, we're saved by Jesus Christ and in him alone. And then you see what Peter's mother-in-law does when she is healed of her fever. What does she do? You tell me. She gets up and serves him. Straightway, immediately, she begins to serve the Savior. You know, that's just like a mother, isn't it? How many of you have a mom like that, that just won't sit down? That just, she's going to serve everybody. She's going to make dinner. She's going to make sure everybody's okay. She's going to be trying to get some drinks for somebody. Everybody's already eaten, and she's back in the kitchen cooking something for somebody else. Well, I just want to make sure everybody's good, you know. Just serving, right? How many of you have a mother or had a mother like that? That's what moms are like, right? You know what? That's what Christians are supposed to be like. It's supposed to be our nature. We've been healed by Jesus. We should stand up and straightway begin to serve him. To serve him. That should be our nature. It should be our character. It should be our passion. It should be the purpose that we have in our life because of what Jesus has done for us. I don't know where you fit in these stories this morning, but I know we all fit somewhere. I hope God fed you from the Word of God. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Dear Lord, as we have a moment of invitation, I ask you right now that you'd be with each and every heart here. Lord, if there's one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior and sin is destroying their life, I pray, God, they would come this morning and trust you as their Lord and Savior, be forgiven of their sin and washed clean. Lord, the Christian maybe who is a shell of what they could be because sin is destroying their life, I pray they would confess and forsake it. Lord, I pray that we would acknowledge the saving faith that you gave us and what you've done for us and how you've healed us. And it would motivate us. The Bible says, "A love of Christ constraineth me." I pray it would move us to be Christians that serve you with our life. We ask these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.